Well, a very good morning to you. Welcome. This is Miraya Breakfast Show, where the big conversation begins every morning. It's a quarter past 8 a.m. in the morning. Now, as we continue this morning on the Miraya Breakfast Show, we get to find out about some of the updates coming here on the United Nations mission in South Sudan. As this week, the United Nations Security Council extended the mandate of the United Nations peacekeeping mission in South Sudan until the 15th of March 2024. Now, to tell us more about this and other developments that have marked this week, we are joined by ANMI spokesperson Linda Tom, and she joins us right about now. Good morning, Linda, and it's good to have you on the Miraya Breakfast Show.
Good morning, Gabriel. I hope you can hear me.
Good morning. This is Sevid William. Yes.
And oh, Sevid.
Yes,
I'm
yes.
So sorry.
No, that's
my
okay.
Apologies.
No, good that's okay.
To.
Yes. Now let's start with the tragic accident in which 11 children lost their lives in Western Bahr al-Ghazal. Before we go even to the details of the ANMI's mandate, tell us, what information do you have?
Yesterday we received the tragic news that an unexploded ordnance incident occurred in a remote village, and this is just a few hours' drive away from Wau. At this time, the United Nations Mine Action Service, otherwise known as UNMAS, told us the following, that as many as 11 children died and one is still receiving medical treatment in a Wau hospital. Mm. These are the preliminary information that we have. We're still trying to verify. But what we do know was that the incident was reported through the UNMAS hotline because they had recently done some risk education in the area. UNMAS also responded with risk education and clearance teams, and they also sent an investigation team. We are coordinating with medical organizations, but also with the government, the Ministry of Health, who dispatched an ambulance to the Jebel Mela area, and in order to assist and bring people back and forth from the hospital. The scale of this trauma is immense, and on behalf of UNMIS, we convey our deepest condolences to the families of the victims.
Yes, and with this incident in Jebel Mela, does it show that UXOs are still a threat to the country and citizens have to be careful?
Well, unfortunately, yes, and this is very much shows why the UN mission, the UN Mine Action Service, is needed, and why their work needs to continue, because it continues to pose a threat to civilians and particularly children, as in this very tragic case. And also, from our part, this is the information that we got from UNMAS, mm-hmm. is that they are contributing to and coordinating on a coordinated response to this tragic incident. And I understand that they plan to deploy teams to the village even today, if that's logistically possible and depending on the security situation. Again, our deepest condolences to the families of the victims.
All right. Just before we talk to the mandate, about the mandate, just a clarification. UNMAS, if you don't know, stands for the United Nations Mine Action Service. This to our listeners. Now, let's talk about the renewal of the ANMI's mandate in South Sudan. Now, this week, the United Nations Security Council extended the mandate of the United Nations peacekeeping. Tell us a little bit more about this.
Yes, we've gotten a lot of questions about this, especially from South Sudanese media. So on the 15th of March, the Security Council renewed the UN mission in South Sudan's mandate for 1 year. And I would like to say that since UNMIS was established in 2011, we remain committed to working with the people of South Sudan. And I do want to emphasize that we are working with the people of South Sudan to prevent a return to civil war, to build durable peace, and to support inclusive and accountable governments, as well as free, fair, and peaceful elections.
Yes, and with the previous mandate, is there any difference?
Yeah, there's a couple of things that I would like to highlight, but perhaps I can still go over the major points.
Yes.
I think this is something that we'll be discussing a lot over the next couple of weeks. There's a lot to cover. So as was the case of last time, the focus is still on four key areas, and those are protecting civilians, creating the conditions for humanitarian assistance, so having that environment where they can safely do their work, supporting the revitalized agreement and the peace process as a whole, and then monitoring human rights violations. But you asked the question about what differences that we see, and as I said, you know, those areas remain very much intact. Some of the things that we noted was that the protection of civilians remains at the forefront, and that language has been strengthened, including the importance of addressing sexual and gender-based violence. There was also some additional language on climate change-related risks in South Sudan. We know that's particularly important with what we're seeing when the situation in Bentiu, you know, where flooding is continuing to affect hundreds of thousands of people. This is going to continue to happen if we don't address climate change and the related risks. And another point that I would like to highlight was that there was also a lot of emphasis in this text about the full, equal, and meaningful participation of women in conflict resolution and in peacebuilding efforts.
All right. And here on the Miraya Breakfast Show yesterday, we had a conversation on asking people about the renewal of ANMI's mandate. And many of them were asking us, why only 1 year? Is it the norm? Is only 1 year every year?
Yes, as I said, this is the process. And since its establishment, you know, in 2011, this is the work of the Security Council. You know, they put together a draft, different member states. We work on this collaboratively. And this is not just the work of one member state. This is the work of all member states. And the mandate is, of course, extremely important because that allows us to continue the work that we do side by side with the people of South Sudan.
And in some of the stories making headlines here in the country, the African Union mission in South Sudan, the IGAD and ANMIS had a press release on the meeting between President Kiir and his first vice president, Dr. Riek Machar. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, so you may have seen that on Sunday, on the 12th of March, and this is following consultations with high-level government parties, the African Union mission, IGAD and UNMISS jointly released a statement, and where we continue to urge the leaders of South Sudan to work together in a collaborative and consultative manner. This is in the spirit and to the letter of the revitalized agreement. But we see that the continued dialogue between the president and the first vice president as being encouraging. You know, I'm sure that they have a lot to discuss, but their ongoing dialogue is encouraging.
And talking about some other activities of ANMIS, last 2 weeks, ANMIS trained traditional leaders to raise awareness on peace agreement in northern Bahr al-Ghazal state. Why is this important for ANMIS and for the people of northern Bahr al-Ghazal and South Sudan in general?
Yes, I think that I'm glad that you asked me about that, because while we were while we have been discussing the mandate, you know, this highlights some of the activities that are a result of our mandate. So in northern Bahr al-Ghazal, UNMISS is working to raise awareness on the peace agreement and particularly aimed at speaking to and the inclusion of traditional leaders, but especially women in the political process. Mm-hmm. As I said before, you know, the role of women, and this is very much the position of UNMISS, is extremely important and they must be included in the political process. We want to do everything that we can to ensure that every South Sudanese citizen is well informed about the recent extension, about the roadmap, about all the aspects of the peace agreement, because these agreements affect them. So this is why we held this two-day workshop in Awale, and it is really focused on strengthening the role of traditional and community leaders to ensure steady peace gains.
Yes, talking about women participation as well, there has been an activity about girls' education stories. Tell us about that.
Yes, we've had several activities where some of our peacekeepers have gone to different areas across the country where they were talking to girls about staying in school and the importance of education for them. We've had several activities ongoing throughout the country, but I also wanted to highlight some of the activities that that we're doing coming up, and also very much in line with our mandate. There are some activities that we had in the last week about sensitizing people, including women, of course, on the mandate, and some upcoming activities in Bor. So that's something that was also just shared with me just now.
Linda, thank you so much. But just before you go, any other interesting activities that the outreach unit of the United Nations Mission in South Sudan has been involved this week or last week?
Yes, absolutely. There was some activities that were in Juba, and I think that we can talk. I know we're running a bit short on time. We can talk a bit more about that next time. But again, this is part of our ongoing work to ensure that people, the South Sudanese, are aware of aspects that concern them, such as the constitution building process. This is so important. We are very, very, you know, there's a lot to do ahead of the lead up to elections. So a lot of work needs to be done, and that includes ensuring that that there is civic space and that there is a free discussions about this, and that the people are aware about these decisions that will concern them. And as I highlighted, you know, there are planned activities that are coming up in other parts of the country, including Bor.
Thank you. Thank you so much for talking to us. We do appreciate your time.
Thank you so much. Bye-bye.